Hello, everybody, and welcome to WikiQuest, an ongoing experiment in conversation and research. My name is WikiTwin Ted Hubisch.
And my name is WikiTwin Elise Giannatasio.
And I'm another third
with
one.
Us on the, wait, hold up. I gotta introduce you. The viewer right, is not right, used to right. us having a guest on the show. I'm sorry to call you, put you on the spot like that. Oh, well, not exactly on the spot. That was more just kind of like pound you into the ground.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is brutal. Do you deal with this every week, Elise?
I mean, both of us kind of get our share.
Throwing it back and forth.
It's just kind of like a fun banter. So anyways, this episode of WikiQuest is a little bit different in that we have our first... Well, actually, I should explain the show first. I'm going to keep you waiting, Josh. I'm sorry. So on WikiQuest, we go on Wikipedia, we press the random article button, and then we just use that. We use what we find as a conversation starter, and we just kind of banter a little bit off of that. So this episode is a little bit different. We have an extra person on the show.
We've captured a man off the street.
We've captured a man. We have our first wiki guest, Josh Neiman.
No,
you didn't say it right. But that's fine.
What is your last name?
It doesn't matter. I'm a man.
No. It matters to me.
I'm just from the street. The street is my name.
Hello, my street is my only name.
Street is my home. The street is my name.
Well, yeah. Do you remember in like fifth grade, you would be like, "What's your like superhero name?" And it's like your favorite color, and then the street you grew up on.
I don't remember that. Is that a main thing?
Maybe. Wait, did no one else do that?
No, we didn't do that here.
Oh, or anywhere.
I just kind of assume that anything Elise tells me is a main thing.
Yeah, usually is.
Oh, man. No, I've seen them on Facebook, like, recently. Also, like, around Christmas,
from
it's like...
From people you know from Maine?
Well, it's like, you know, like, around Christmas, it's like, what's your elf name? Like, around, like, St. Patrick's Day, it's, what's your leprechaun
and
name?
Are those all colors and street names?
Not all of them, but, like, those are common ones. Sometimes it's your birthday, or like the month, but then the month corresponds to like another word. Anyway, I'll have to show you. they're like big charts.
Name. What is your superhero name?
That would involve telling you my street name, so I can't tell you. Because I don't want anyone to stalk me.
Oh, I know your street name.
Okay, so what is it? Wait. Okay, I'll give
out
my
horrible,
information.
That's a horrible superhero name.
Listen, give me the instructions. I'll give you my superhero name. This is how this transaction works.
Okay, without doing street names so that no one comes and
I'll do my street name. I'm fine with it.
Oh, okay.
I want to get robbed. I want to get stolen.
Listen, you live in what, Cleveland?
I live in Cleveland.
Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland is basically like Brigadoon. You can only get there once every certain number of years, it phases in and out, so he doesn't have to be worried.
It's like the leap year of places.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. No, your superhero name is your favorite color, your street name, and then an adjective that describes your dog. Like the whatever.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh shit! I'm the red and chill rambunctious. That's pretty good.
That's a really good name.
It's not exactly a super. It's not exactly a superhero name, but it's a good name for something.
It's like a wrestler name.
Yes, there we go. There we go. Nail on the head. So, we should introduce our guest. We should actually introduce our guest, because I mean, we just kind of went right into it. This is Josh, who you might know as might know from Elise's boyfriend.
You might know me from that work that I starred in, and I'm currently. It's a syndicate.
Yes, true.
I'm still working on it. You know?
I think
ratings are good. And I'm hoping to stay in the role for a while.
Oh god. You know, you gotta get ready for fall sweeps.
Yeah.
Oh no. No. It's spring. We got 6 months. No more.
True. Okay, yeah, you're right.
I got 6 months left.
No. Oh man, I'm making myself sound bad.
But yes, no, so this is going to be interesting because, Josh, you actually have a bit of a history background, don't you?
I, you could say that. You could say that. And
I could say that. I did. I did it really well.
He said it. He went ahead and he said it. Yes.
That was the wild man.
I'm the wild boy that you call me. I just thought that might just make it a little bit interesting.
Should we explain your background? What's your background? Give us a summary.
What is my background? I was born in,
Under a
there
bomb,
we go, there we go.
Born in the streets. Well, next to a street in a hospital. just kind of like the streets. Raised
in the sheets next to a street.
Next to a street in a house. Did history at a university next to a street.
These are all good things.
I'm still at that university. Do mostly medieval history. So you can
now,
tell
what was the street situation back then?
The street situation. So actually, here's an interesting history anecdote for you. We're getting straight into it, straight into the history power hour. So you know, people tell you the Roman Empire fell, which is partially correct, but I mean, what they don't tell you is the ways that the Roman Empire endured into the Middle Ages.
Okay.
One of those ways, you guessed it, streets. You know, the Romans made good roads. And there are still modern roads built on Roman roads, because Romans built roads to last. They really liked building roads.
That's interesting.
No potholes in those roads.
They were not paved, so yes.
Okay.
They might be cobbled.
You can get potholes in, like, dirt roads, though. Trust me, someone who's lived on a dirt road and has to, like, fill in potholes many times a year.
I think it's a different kind of hole when it's in a dirt road.
It's not a pothole?
No, it's
panhole?
Okay. Sure.
Panhole.
Panhole. Wikipedia that.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone make a page.
Actually, I'm a little afraid to Wikipedia that. So.
Yeah. Should we press the random article button?
Let's press the random article button. Let's get right into it. Let's just get some articles up and going so we can hang out with our friends and talk about Wikipedia articles with our friends, all right?
Yeah. Let's go. Oh, since we're recording remotely, I can't hear the cool sounds.
Yeah, only I could hear them. Oh well, I'll figure it out. It was violent.
Describe what the sound was.
Oh, it was kind of like it sounded like MIDI gunshots, like just like very like synthesized gunshots.
We missed out.
It was very loud. All right. So, Elise, you're Italian. Read this in your best voice.
Settignano. Settignano. Settignano.
There we go. Mamma mia.
Is a picturesque frazione ranged on a hillside northeast of Florence, Italy, with spectacular views that have attracted American expatriates for generations.
Expatriates.
What did I say?
You said expirates. Or
that's
like that.
Good. That's
ex-pirates. Ex-pirate. Yeah. American ex-pirates.
Used to be pirates. Now they have come to Florence to seek their fortune.
Or just live a more straight-edge life.
Wait, okay. Is... Well, I want to know exactly where this is, because I've been to Florence,
Italy.
There's a map
right there.
No. There's that's just a map of Italy with a little red dot. I've been to Florence, Italy, and we did climb a giant hillside that looks out over Florence, but is it the same one?
Let me Google.
Yeah, get me a picture of what it actually looks like.
I'm going to get you a picture.
All right, Ted, you're the real hero.
Segnano, thank you so much. I'm the only the one who... I don't... have a computer.
Oh, yes, I have been here.
You've been here?
Yes. Wow, this is beautiful. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yeah, so my family has this thing where whenever we go on vacation, we take a lot of selfies, which is very weird for everyone around us. But now I have a huge collection of Giantazio.
That doesn't sound like it's too... That doesn't sound like it's too outside, like, the normal.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We like to, like push to the front of somewhere, like, at the Colosseum, and just be like, all right, everyone, get in! And everyone's, like, offering to, like, take pictures for us, and we're like, no, we gotta have this selfie.
So you're just, like, the most obnoxious Americans imaginable.
Only when we're taking selfies. The rest is fine. You know, yeah, so I have, like, a huge collection of Giannotazio family selfies from throughout the years. We were doing it before it was cool.
Imagining you all in Hawaiian shirts.
We did take some in Hawaii.
Like at the end of, spoilers for James Bond, Man with the Golden Gun. Like, at the end of the Man with the Golden Gun, when there's that tourist couple. Either of you seen that movie?
We watched it together.
Yeah, and there's that guy who's like a police chief from somewhere in the Midwest, the South, and he's got a huge Hawaiian shirt on and like a hat. And he's just running around completely out of place.
Oh yeah.
Feels so left out.
That's what I imagine your family as.
I feel so left out.
No, we're not that bad.
You haven't seen The Man with the Golden Gun?
I haven't seen The Man with the Golden Gun.
What? Well, that's your fault, Ted Hubisch.
I know that's my fault.
You call yourself a media student?
Listen. I only watch movies that have,
don't have golden guns in them.
All right. So to sum up for the listeners at home who haven't seen The Man with the Golden Gun, I guess because they hate high cinema.
yeah,
basically, it's about a man with a golden gun who's shooting people, and James Bond is chasing him. And at the end, he's chasing him at an unspecified place in Southeast Asia. And there's like a canal with a bunch of like little boats in it. And then they get in like a car chase. And James Bond is chasing him, and this gigantic man in a Hawaiian shirt, completely out of place, and his wife gets mad that he gets like bonked or something in the chase. So he joins James Bond with no explanation. Just tearing through the streets of this tiny Southeast Asian country, and yelling in like a thick accent.
Oh my gosh. Like that. Yeah, we've seen a bunch of James Bond films because there was one time that my phone charger broke, so we went to Best Buy.
And so Best we were Buy. Looking
Yeah, that's the name of the
went
store.
Went to Best Buy.
Best Buy.
Oh, Best Buy. It's a store. Blue.
And so we were looking for this charger, and then Josh is like, "Hold up.
Yeah.
Do you see what I see?" And it was a huge, like, you know those huge clear round just buckets, like huge.
I think it was like hexagonal.
Yeah, well, like the value bin.
It was a value bin, but it was full of James Bond DVDs.
James Bond. All the time. And then we got like...
I bought 5 of them.
Yeah, just like a ton. And then we walked out, totally forgot the phone charger, totally forgot everything. Because we were just so excited that we had found all of these James Bonds.
It was a great bargain. I love James Bond.
It was like $2.50 each movie.
James Bond's good.
It was a deal and a half.
$10?
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Best day, for real.
That was a real good day.
Are we going to get back to Settignano?
If you want to. Okay.
I was just thinking, I'm reading here, Mark Twain and his wife stayed there at Villa Vivani.
They wrote the first draft of Puddinhead Wilson there.
Yeah. He said the villa afforded the most charming view to be found on this planet. Which, like, he's not
Listen,
wrong.
I'm reading this article. And the only thing I can really keep my attention on right now is the word Borgo.
Borgo.
Yes, the little Borgo of Segnano carries a familiar name for having produced 3 sculptures of the Florence Renaissance.
What is a Borgo?
I want to figure out what a Borgo is.
Borgo just means village, so this was all for nothing.
Yeah, it just means small Italian village. I like the specificity of that.
Yeah.
Borgo.
It's like a borough.
It's not at all like a borough.
Well, I mean, you know, you call something a borough.
Yeah, that's like a part of the city.
Oh, Borgo. Borgo?
Borgo.
From the late Latin, burgus.
Burgus.
Really, I love all of this.
Hang on, I've got a Latin dictionary right here.
Oh. Burgus. Ah, you pulled my headphone out.
It's not my fault that your headphones are like this.
I spent good money on these.
Can we talk about these? Have the listeners heard this headphone story?
Oh, no.
No.
All right. Oh, you're
Can we talk about the pain I'm going through for this art?
Let me sure. defend myself.
Can I explain the pain first?
No.
All right. We'll get the defense, then the accusation.
No, no, no. I just want to say my piece. So I am a small girl with small ears that has never had earbuds fit me correctly, ever. Like, ever, ever, ever. Mm-hmm. The squishy ones, even the smallest ones, don't fit. Everything is uncomfortable. But one day, I stole headphones from my brother. True story. Andrew, if you're listening, thank you so much. And they were the Sony...
Know you stole them?
Oh, yeah. He's been mad at me for years for stealing them. I stole them when I was in middle school.
Nice.
And I had these headphones, and they fit my ears perfectly, and they didn't hurt, and they weren't uncomfortable, and I could wear them, like, literally for hours, and they would be awesome. And they lasted me from middle school, when I stole them from my brother, up until a month ago, or not even a month ago, like 2 weeks ago. So that was, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years that these headphones had, like, done me tried and true. And so then 2 weeks ago, one of the headphones went out. I don't think I did anything. I think I had just had them for 8 years. So they were like, all right, we're out. We're done. So...
Howdy.
Yeah. So I was like, I need these same headphones again. And so I was looking for them on the Sony website, and they'd been discontinued. But I found some on Amazon for $56.
Okay, so wait, okay, that was the thing I was about to put you on blast about. Because Elise came to me, like, Elise messaged me, I found the headphones on, like, I think you first found them for, like, $80?
No, they weren't that much.
Or am I making that up?
You're making that. I think it was only $50 to begin with.
$56 is still insane for a pair of earbuds.
Especially since I have this earbud in my ear right now, and it is one of the most miserable experiences I've ever. Like,
oh, I'm so sorry, Josh.
You could have waterboarded me live on air. And I would have done it. At least I don't have this hard, strangely shaped thing in my ear.
It fits my ear really well.
It feels like I'm back in middle school. These are like the free headphones you would get with like your off-brand.
It's a free headphone. MP3. No, it's a free headphones. It's a free headphones you would get with the radio you won from the
Exactly.
You sold enough cookies. You sold enough cookies.
Oh,
they're just the hard formed like plastic.
They're triangles, basically.
Yeah.
So they fit
what
in your ear.
What in the world?
They fit in your ear. They fit in my ear.
They fit in your ear.
Get
this. I didn't pay $56 for them because I found a sweet deal where this guy was like, closeout sale, do you want this super ugly color for $30? And I was like, yes.
That's still a lot. You could buy a better pair of earbuds.
You could. Alternatively.
Yeah, also, he said that they were going to be like a terrible green, but they're sort of like a purplish color, so.
I want to.
Did he specifically say they'd be terrible?
I think so. He was like, I can't sell this color.
I want to add another sort of data point to this. Sure. So, like a week ago, I had my headphones, and like. When I'm at my computer, I have a big old pair of AKGs that go over my ears. But when I'm out on the town...
Out on the town.
Which basically means working, the only place I listen to anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got a little tiny pair of over-ear ones that are kind of goofy.
Yeah.
And so I picked them up, and Elise was like, is that what you use to listen to things? And I was like, yes. And she was like... Well, good, because we just had a whole class on how in-ear headphones ruin your ears and how you should never use earbuds.
You're making my voice sound bad.
So you should never use in-ear earbuds ever again.
I didn't sound like that.
And then, like, 3 days later, it's like, should I spend $56 on this pair of horrifying torture devices, basically?
No, they feel really nice in my ears. Oh, God,
you're putting both Elise, me, and a big section of the audience on blast.
it is true. In my audio class, we did talk about how earbuds are awful, but as long as you don't raise your volume up super, super high, it's not going to do you any hearing damage.
But that's not what you said to me. You were like, good, I'm glad you're never going to use them again.
That's not true.
Anyway, can we talk about this Latin word we've got up? Because while we were doing while we were doing that very long bit, I actually looked it up in my copy of Castle's Latin Dictionary. And this is interesting, because this is only a dictionary of classical Latin. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing here is that's a medieval Latin word. So it ties back into that discussion we had earlier, how these Roman influences stay, and Latin's still the language of law.
Right on. Oh,
man, that's interesting. In Western Europe, yeah.
Oh, I remember nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, ablative. Oh, man, I took Latin.
No love for the vocative?
No. Listen. No love for vocative at all. No, let me just say, I took Latin for 4 years, and so normally when you have a word, there's 5 cases, and so my Latin teacher was just like, just write them on your fingers. And so that's what I did. That's how I learned a lot of Latin words, writing them on each of my fingers with permanent marker, which was probably not the best. Dang. But I learned them, because then you could just look at your hand, and then you would say, like, oh, what's the genitive? And so then it would be your first finger, and you would just hold out your first finger, and it would be like, whatever. Like, you did it with puella, like, puella.
You did? Wait, your first finger?
Long A.
Did you have nominative on your thumb?
Yeah, nominative on the thumb. Okay. Genitive, then dative on your middle finger, accusative on your ring finger, and then ablative on your pinky. For every word.
It's funny that you had dative on your middle finger. Because dative is like 2 and 4 words.
Fuck
like
it.
Words that are to someone or for someone.
Right.
Or for something. So you throw up the middle finger to someone.
Yeah, to someone. It was all on purpose. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for, like, my Latin teacher, I think, flipped us off quite a bit.
I wish I had a Latin teacher to flip me off.
you should take Latin.
But, yeah, no. Oh, God.
Wait, Ted Hubich, do you still need your language credit?
I have a waiver for that.
What'd you take
to get like, a waiver? I didn't, like, ask for it. I don't know what I took to get a waived. I just kind of ended up with it. I don't
really?
Know how.
You didn't take four years of language in high school?
Oh, you know what? I did.
What was it?
It was Spanish.
Say something in Spanish.
Mamma mia.
Okay. Mamma mia. That's not Spanish at all.
Listen, I feel like you guys are burying the lead a little bit here when talking about the nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, ablative, vocative. Because you're not talking about on this page what's like what the chart that we're seeing here.
Yeah.
Firma Bergi.
It's listing Burgess, Bergi, Burgo, Burgum, Burgo, Burg, Bergi, Burgorum, Burgess, Burgos, Burgess, Bergi.
I'm sure I'm getting this
pronunciation wrong. However, that Burgorum is my favorite thing.
Burgorum.
Burgorum. Burgorum. I want to have a good cheeseburgerum.
Me too.
Inside my mouth. Thank you.
It's like different parts of an iceberg. Bergy bits and growlers. Those are the names for the blocks of ice that fall off icebergs. Bergy bits.
Are you serious?
Float. I think this
Bergy
is it.
Bits.
Bergy bits float. Growlers sink. I think. Maybe Are Google you... that. But it's like, yeah, Bergy bits and growlers.
Are you sure you're not talking about hamburger helper products?
No. Bergy bits and growlers. Google them.
I'll look it up.
Bergy bits and growlers. I don't know if that's how you spell it.
Okay, Bergy. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Oh, see, it's like Bergy bits. The
iceberg version, not burger version.
Bergy bits and growlers.
Bergy.
Right here.
Those just sound like brand names.
Small chunks of floating ice. Oh, small chunks of floating ice are called growlers.
This looks like a really reputable website.
It does.
Yeah. Well, I didn't learn it from here.
Well, it looks like it was reputable, like, 10 years ago.
This is my just Yahoo...
Icy cold my jokes!
I love this. Just double click in quotes.
it's only reputable... No, my rule for the net is it's only reputable if they have a MIDI in the background. repeating sky background. And just scrolling text.
This has at least half of those things. Mm-hmm. Bergie Bits and Growlers. Love it.
Arctic yes. Lynx.
Arctic Lynx.
I gotta check out my Arctic. I gotta check out my Icy,
icy
cold
Game.
Joke. There is something that says Icy Cold Jokes. So we're on the website Athropolis, which seems to be. We haven't gone through the entire site, but it seems to be all about the Arctic. A children's website from maybe like the late 90s, early 2000s about the Arctic. Definitely looks it. We're on a page right now called Icy Jokes, which are, the subtitle is Jokes and Riddles for Kids, the Cold and Frosty Kind. So are we talking here the cold and frosty kind of kid or the cold and frosty kind of jokes and riddles?
I think they're cold and frosty jokes because some of these are horrifying. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast? Because, like...
You're allowed to swear.
What's the difference between an iceberg and a clothes brush? One crushes boats and the other brushes coats.
Holy shit.
Like...
Hold up. Okay.
What kind of coffee were they serving when the Titanic hit an iceberg? Sanka.
Jesus Christ.
That's horrible.
What do Sami reindeer herders say to reindeer who complain? Venison.
Oh, no.
What the fuck?
What do you call 50 penguins in the Arctic? Lost. Really lost. And then in quotes, penguins live in Antarctica. That one's cute.
Some of these are really, like...
Oh, God.
Many people perished.
But yeah.
It's almost the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic.
Is it? It's in April, isn't it?
April 15th.
Your birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Titanic.
Just got doxed live on this podcast.
Damn.
Let's segue. You know what else takes place in a frozen tundra?
What does?
The horrible book Dog Song by Gary Paulsen.
Wait. I thought we were talking. So to give the listener a little background,
a little behind the scenes here. The only
a little behind the little inside baseball here. Josh and I were Josh and I were talking smack a little bit of smack about Gary Paulsen's legendary preteen novel classic Hatchet. Which is the 1000th. It was probably one of the ones that really kind of started the whole.
I think he defined the genre with that.
I mean, there was My Side of the Mountain.
There was My Side of the Mountain. But who cares, honestly?
There's a cute little falcon in that one.
Yeah, a falcon, and they made a movie out of it.
But... He was really into algae.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw the Nickelodeon movie of that. That's all I remember.
Yeah. I had the book, but I never read it.
Nice.
Because I looked at it as a kid after reading Dog Song and Hatchet, and I went, not today.
So, wait. What was... Okay, so this is going to be our... what do you want to call this section, Josh?
This is the middle school book roundtable, I guess.
Okay, middle school book roundtable. So we're all the classics, but we're going to talk about
this is the Gary Paulsen the Power Hour.
Gary Paulsen Power Hour.
I've never read a Gary Paulsen book.
Lucky you.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Lucky you. Yeah. So do you want to start with Hatchet or do you want to start with Dog Song?
I want to take it safe and play with Hatchet, but I'm also curious as to what Dog Song could possibly be.
All right. So. Yeah, you want to go Dog Song? Is that your final answer?
Let's go Dog Song.
You're opening a can of worms, my friend. So, okay, when I was in middle school, we had an English class, yes, like you do.
Yes, true.
And at the end of the English class, the teacher, who I never liked and never liked me, thought it would be a really cool idea.
It was mutual.
Yeah, thought it would be a really cool idea if... it wasn't quite the end. It was like 3/4 of the way through. She was like, I'm just going to... buy a bunch of books out of pocket because I love reading and I want you to love reading, which seems like a very nice thing to do. And she had two choices, one for girls, one for boys, because she was that kind of person. And the boy option, I don't remember what the girl option was. The boy option was Dog Song by Gary Paulsen. And so I picked it up and I thought, how bad can it be? So then she was like, you know, this might have been planned. I don't know if it was. But she was going, all right, now you can pick any book to do a project on, to write a thing about. You gotta read it. Mm-hmm. Do a book report. And me, having just received a free copy of Dog Song, went, how fortuitous. I will read this Gary Paulson novel. Big mistake. Big mistake.
How fortuitous. How fortuitous that that came out of the lips of 12-year-old Josh. I don't know your last name.
I might be embellishing a little bit, but big mistake. Big mistake.
Sure.
So it is a classic Gary Paulson tale of survival, in that it is horrible. And so it opens. It's in like an Inuit village, mm-hmm. in like Alaska.
Yeah.
And you've got this teen kid protagonist.
Yes.
And he's
not teens.
He's very mad because the culture of his people has basically been destroyed.
Okay.
And so all he does is sort of bum around the town rec center, and complain that everyone's watching TV. And eat raw meat and big chunks of fat.
Well, that's
and he's that's constantly life, being scolded basically. By his dad that you need to cook the meat or you're gonna contract parasites.
Sure.
But being the rebellious teen he is, he heats it up a little and then just eats it. So then I forget how he meets this guy who lives out in a shack in the middle of nowhere, but he does. This old blind man.
There's always the guy out in the shack in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So this old blind man is like, you want to learn the ways of the people? I've got a dog sled.
Okay.
This changes his life forever as he learns to hunt and ride the dog sled and command his dog team.
Well, I'm proud of him.
And the old man's like, you gotta go into the wilderness and find your dog song. You gotta find your dog song, your personal dog song, like our ancestors did. And so the kid then the old man dies, and the kid just kind of leaves with the dog sled team, not telling anyone.
Oh, great. Then the story's over.
No.
It's just beginning.
What follows is...
What? Is
many pages of just miserable explanations of being in the snow and being cold with dogs. And he's just kind of in the snow with dogs going in some direction, but he's totally lost. And you'll have whole sections where it's like... Oh, I could feel the snow blindness setting in. If I could find any wood, I could make goggles to stop the snow blindness. But there was no wood because there was so much snow. And so the snow blindness continues. And his dogs keep dying, and then they come across a polar bear, and he kills it, and he eats the polar bear. It's just a lot of being in the snow. And then at the end, he finds a girl passed out on a snowmobile, and he saves her life. And that's it.
And, oh, great.
And there are the lyrics to his dog song at the end.
Oh, Jesus.
which are real bad.
Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no.
Gary Paulson dog song. Don't recommend it.
Hey, great. Well, this has been a section of the show. Scholastic Book Club, Rex,
yep.
I guess.
The Scholastic Book Club lives on.
Listen, hold up.
Yeah,
I friggin' with my class. They kept on. They had us go to this Scholastic Book Club thing, from all the way up to senior year of high school.
What? Oh yeah.
Why?
Oh, me too. Though.
I don't know.
Were they like, you kids really need some hot cheat code books and like?
Yes, I need my cheat code.
You need
book,
your.
I need my Xbox One cheat codes.
You need your 100 cheat codes for the Game Boy Color.
Oh yeah, so my mom.
Yes.
Runs exactly. a preschool, so she gets those Scholastic order forms for all ages, not just preschool, mm-hmm. like all the way up. So, all the way up, through all of my school, she'd be like, "Do you want any books?" And I would like. Pick out books that I wanted. It was awesome because then I got Scholastic books.
That's like the dream. Yeah. When I was little, like everybody just wanted. Everybody like went nuts over that.
Yeah. No, the book fair was a big event. You go, I mean,
but like
you go, you buy. It was a big event.
It was a big event, but it stops being a big event around like maybe like seventh grade.
10 erasers.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember those erasers that were, like, the money erasers?
No.
We used to trade those erasers.
Yes.
I would go.
Yes.
I would go. I would get as many Animorphs books as my little buddy could carry.
That's good.
Oh, you've always been big.
You get the Animorphs.
That's good.
Love
Animorphs. What was that other one people liked?
Did you ever do the Replica series about all those clones?
No.
Oh, I loved that series.
Everyone loved Maximum Ride, but I didn't get it.
Oh, I love Maximum Ride.
I like Artemis Fowl. I
never even heard of Maximum Ride.
You never heard of Maximum Ride? You'd probably like it.
The bird kids?
I love how you guys... Wait. No, but I like it.
They've got, like angel wings.
Well, yeah, they're
okay,
not
wait.
Little birds.
Are you saying that, like little kid Ted would like it?
No, I'm saying that you would probably like it
no,
currently.
Like, I would still read them.
Okay. I wouldn't, but I never read them to begin with. I didn't get them as an 8-year-old.
Oh,
I don't know if I don't know if I'd get them now.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of kids who are, like, in a laboratory, and, like, this evil scientist gave them wings.
Yeah, it was real fucking dark. Wasn't there...
It was really dark.
Didn't their bodies, like, reject them?
Yes, and then they had to escape, and now, yeah, like, their wings keep getting infected, so, like, they sort of have to go back to the doctor, but they, like, kept them in cages, so, like, oh my gosh. Yeah, they're intense.
I always liked,
books.
I liked the, me and my friends, we were all crazy about the, Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And, okay, what else? I really liked, My Teacher is a Martian.
I've heard of those, but I don't...
You remember that?
I don't know that one.
Okay. Well, those were the ones where the teacher was a Martian.
Ah. Wouldn't have guessed.
And, I don't know, there's a bunch of good ones. I wasn't exactly, there weren't that many, like, preteen, like, novel series I read.
Oh, Facebook reminded me today that 8 years ago, I was having a Twilight birthday party on this day. Twilight-themed birthday.
Excellent.
Well, yeah, so this is actually really funny, like, good tidbit about my life. So I had a Twilight birthday party, and so basically we decorated my house with Twilight posters, and we did like all red and black decorations, and my mom surprised me with a huge cardboard cutout, like life size, of Edward Cullen from the Twilight series, and I kept Edward Cullen in my bedroom to watch over me for years. I just got rid of him last summer after 8 years. Honestly,
no.
I just got so used to him. I put him corner.
No, he's like sitting at the foot of her bed watching over it. Very creepy.
Oh no, it made me feel safe.
It's
I would wake up and Edward Cullen would be watching over my bed and I'd be like, thanks, Eddie.
It's like every preteen girl's dream, like that the swab vampire just appears.
Okay,
that gets to be a point though. That gets to be a point though, where it's just like this person just like on your bed.
I mean, he wasn't, like, on my bed. It was... My bed is in the middle of the room. It's not, like... It's up against one wall, but it's not, like, in a corner, you know? So then my bed is opposite two windows, and so he was leaning up against the windowsill of one of the windows.
So you could see the silhouette of him in the darkness?
Yes.
The man?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it made me feel safe. I only read the Twilight books 4 years ago when I was... That was middle school, too, yeah. Because that's when everyone was reading them. And then I was like, all right, we're done. But it was really cool to have a Twilight birthday party. So that's what I did. It was very fun, I think. I don't remember all of it. It was a while ago. It was 8 years ago.
It was wild.
It was wild. Or was it 9 years ago? I should check on Facebook. There are some pretty great photos of... Oh, I can't check on my phone. You know how you can't check certain things on your phone? I think this is really annoying. Let's see. On this day... Oh, I was in a musical on this day. Oh, I guess it was yesterday that it was 8 years ago yesterday. Mm. Huh. I wish you could flip through your days. Darn. Anyway, there were some great pictures of my Twilight birthday party.
That's good.
Let's see.
I'm trying to look up, there was a children's, like, novel I read when I was in maybe sixth grade. That they had us read. Because they had us read all these different... every single novel they had us read all through elementary school, they're all about, like, surviving the wilderness. Every single one of them. Every year. And it was weird. I don't know why. We lived in, like... Everybody lived in, like, suburban Ohio. I don't know why they were, like, giving us all these, like, wilderness books. Anyways, so yes, but we are called.
We also read all those, but we actually lived in the woods.
Yeah. That it makes more sense there.
So like, but, that was something people could imagine. Like we would read them, and then you'd go home and you'd run out. I don't know how other people spent their childhood, but I spent almost all of my childhood with a red Swiss Army knife out in the woods.
Making sticks into pointier
sticks.
Sure. But yeah, no. The one I was looking for was Julie of the Woods.
I don't know that one.
The Wolves. Julie of the Wolves.
Julie of the Wolves.
Yes. It was just kind of like these all had like almost they had really similar plots. They weren't that different.
Julie of the Wolves.
This one was about a young Eskimo girl. There was My Side of the Mountain, Hatchet. What else did I read?
Lost on a Mountain in Maine?
No, I never
heard of that.
I never heard about Maine until you told me existed, Elise.
Wait, really? Are you being serious?
I'm being 100%. No, I'm not being serious. Come on, it's a state.
No, because for real, sometimes I say Maine and people will not know where it is.
Are you serious?
It's a bigger problem with New Hampshire, which is where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a lot of... Yeah, remember when Kes was talking to that person and she was like, oh yeah, I'm in New Hampshire, and they were like, what part of Europe is that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No. No one knows Maine. That is no wild one knows to me. New Hampshire. Some people know Massachusetts, but only because there's Boston. I'll
rib you about like how weird Maine stuff is, but that's just wild.
Yeah, a lot of people just don't know we exist.
Ted, have you been to Maine?
No, I haven't.
We need to take you on a Maine trip.
It's crazy.
We need to get you some moxie.
Oh yeah.
Listen, I was thinking like, oh no, I love. Wait, okay, are you talking about the soda? Because I love moxie.
Good.
Yeah, because I recently discovered it.
I love moxie. Like,
it's so good.
I drink so much moxie. I drink an upsetting amount of moxie.
If I were able to find more of it, I would have it like all the time. It's like my favorite next to cream soda.
You can order it from their website.
Yeah. Okay, what's your favorite? Okay, so I've never been able to, I've never figured out like what do you guys call like soda? I've never had one that I exactly called home.
What do you mean by that?
Like, what do you call, like, soda or pop or whatever?
It's called soda.
Okay.
Yeah, we call it soda.
Sure. Because, like, I've never been able to figure out, like, everybody around me, when I grew up, they all called it, like, something different.
Really? Bubbly?
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's an alcohol thing, isn't it?
I think.
Bubbly? I guess so.
I don't know.
Champagne? I don't know.
Champagne?
Could be. Anyways, but yeah, no, like, oh god, I don't know, I really like moxie.
Good.
I also discovered recently a celery soda, which is actually so much better than I thought it would be.
Sounds horrible.
It's actually really, really good. It's actually really, really good. It has an interesting flavor.
I'm gonna tell you right now, you get moxie, ginger beer is a close alternative.
Oh, I love ginger.
Love me some ginger beer.
Ooh, birch beer.
It's too sweet.
Birch beer's good.
It's too sweet.
What?
It's too sweet.
No.
I think root beer is too sweet also, though.
Oh, I love
root beer. Oh, no. Come on. You're killing me.
Well, we were having this debate yesterday. Ted Hubisch. We were having this debate yesterday.
Wait, which debate?
Yeah.
So when you go back to Cleveland.
Yes.
Your home and native land.
Yeah, that's it.
Can you get Orangina?
Oh.
Ooh, like, okay, let me look up what it is. I'm pretty sure. I think you can.
See, he doesn't even know.
He doesn't even know what it is.
Hold up. I never said I didn't know what it is. I'm just saying that it's kind of. Yes, you can get it.
All right, you can get that in
Cleveland. There's a lot of I definitely see it in places. I think there's a lot of like different import food shops around.
I see.
So I think that might be where I'm seeing it, but I've definitely seen it in plenty of places around Cleveland. Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like it's just distributed by Dr. Pepper.
Folks, I love Orangina.
I haven't had it in my life. How is it? What is it like?
So imagine you get orange juice, right?
Yes.
And then you carbonate it.
It's lightly carbonated.
Oh, okay.
But it's less, it doesn't taste quite like, you know how orange juice is kind of thick?
Yeah.
This isn't like that. It's
thin.
It's lighter.
Ooh. Ooh, I might be unsold on this.
It's thin and carbonated.
Mm. I'll have to check it.
So it's nowhere near as sweet as orange soda.
And it's got pulp in it.
Yeah.
Sure.
I like it a lot. Because it's not too sweet, but it still tastes like orange juice.
Sure. I'm going to have to try it out. Because the part of what I really like the thickness.
They sell it at our college.
What? Really?
Yeah, at Einstein's.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go over.
I'm going to have to do a live right Orangina now. Taste test.
Yes.
Oh, God. That'd be crazy. All right, I think we've been recording for a long time now.
We've been recording.
Like this call alone has been 44 minutes.
Yes.
And we still have only done one Wikipedia article.
Do the Orangina. You're right. Do the Orangina article.
Let's do the Orangina article.
All right, we're doing the Orangina article.
Okay. Load. All right, so Orangina. Josh, do you want to read this one?
Sure.
Or can your old man eyes not read it?
Orangina is a lightly carbonated beverage made from water and 12% citrus pulp, parentheses 10% from concentrated orange, 2% from a combination of concentrated lemon, concentrated mandarin, and concentrated grapefruit juices.
That is a hearty parentheses. I don't even think that needs to quite be in parentheses.
That's a solid parentheses right there. Orangina was invented at a trade fair in France, developed by Dr. Augustin Trigo Mirales from Spain and first sold in French Algeria by Léon Béton in 1935.
There's a lot of these kind of things that like people made at like these fairs because like they ran out of something or whatever. Like I know Doritos were invented at like Disneyland or something.
Really?
I forget why. Yeah. The ice cream cone was invented at some fair. Yeah, no. Let me see. Let me look up.
Wait. Before you move, the famous soda is now known in several countries due to its special taste and its original advertising campaign, especially the famous slogan, "Shake me." I always thought that was instructions, dude, but apparently that's the marketing slogan.
It really caught on. It really. Oh man.
I do shake a bottle of Orangina a little bit.
That's true. Maybe it works. Maybe it's worked then.
Well, yeah.
You know, advertisers, they really do all that stuff to really just get into your noggin.
Because you got
to
get.
So I guess it really worked.
Well, you got to get the pulp up in it. Like it's a practical instruction.
What did you just say to me?
You got
to
get the pulp. Like it all settles at the bottom. So you gotta shake it a little bit, mm-hmm. but not too much because it's carbonated.
It's true. Oh God. Jesus, why is the slogan "Shake Me" then?
It's a balancing. Well, it's not carbonated like other things. You're gonna have to try it.
Okay, it's a light carbonation.
It's lightly carbonated. So you do like three or four long, good shakes.
Mm-hmm. The perfect amount.
Like a pendulum.
Can we have an actual like real life Wiki Quest where I go up to Maine, we all come, we all get together. We try out all different kind of weird sodas.
Yeah.
We review weird sodas and read excerpts from bad wilderness novels.
We could go to Califf's in New Hampshire.
Oh, Califf's.
What is Califf's?
It's a country store.
Okay.
Free plug for Califf's country store. Not that it needs one.
Let's do a free plug. I can bring over some Cleveland and maybe just more Midwestern local drinks.
Good stuff.
Well, actually, no, you guys probably, okay. I imagine there's not too much over. I imagine there is a bit of an overlap. Like you guys get Verner's probably.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Do you guys get Dr. Brown's?
Get what?
No.
Like the cream soda brand. Okay, there we go. Dr. Brown's. I'll bring over some Dr. Brown's. I'm sure there's some other ones that are more Midwest kind of centric.
I'm trying to think of what Califf's has that I haven't seen other places. They have Nickel Cola. NICHOL. Nickel Cola.
Oh yeah, I know what you, I think I know what you're talking about.
I don't think it's regional, it's just weird.
But yeah, I think that might be it for WikiQuest, an ongoing experiment in conversation and research. I'm Ted Hubisch.
And I'm Elise Giannatasio.
And I'm another third one.
Yes, this has been our guest, another third one. Josh, do you want to reveal your last name, or like, is that...
I mean, you already did.
I don't know.
But you said it wrong.
I didn't say it right, though.
That's fine.
Okay, nice. Okay, it's Josh.
Yeah, there you go.
Here's our guest, Josh Nisnep. So WikiQuest is produced by our wonderful producer, Emily Wiki Wrangler Walborn. Audio production is not done Audio engineering is not done by Greg Farrington. WikiQuest, portions of Wikipedia are used and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license, unless they aren't. WikiQuest is licensed under the exact same license.
You can find us at WikiQuest on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes or any other podcast platform that you subscribe to. We are pretty much everywhere as of now. Yeah, we're pretty good. We're most. Oh, Ted's battery is low.
I gotta plug myself in to the grid.
But
you can catch us there. Our website is wikiquestshow.org. That's wikiquestshow.org. Is there anything else we do on this ending part of the show? Our show that we have. That I forgot the how we end it.
You ask me what the listener can do this week.
Oh, yeah, no. What's a nice thing that the listener can do this week, Elise? Is it anytime?
Drink some liquids.
Please drink liquid. That's very important.
If you like Orangina, try Orangina.
If you can go out and find yourself a nice cold Moxie, get yourself some of that.
Yes, please drink some Moxie. I cannot stress this enough. That stuff is like life-changing good. It's so good.
It is the original nerve food as they're marketing in the 1880s.
Is that really the marketing?
Do you want to do a bonus WikiQuest article? Put the Moxie article.
God. Okay, let's look up the Moxie article.
Cuz you got to see the original nerve food.
The original nerve food. What?
I'm serious.
Oh god, the picture, the mascot is very stern.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pointing. He's into it.
He does not look all too thrilled to be there.
Yeah, okay, so Moxie, he claimed, was especially effective against paralysis, softening of the brain, nervousness, and insomnia. Moxie nerve food.
It was designated the official soft drink of Maine in 2005.
Correct.
It originated around 1876 as a patent medicine called Moxie nerve food.
Jesus.
I didn't lie to you, Ted.
I guess not. Ohio only gets state birds and state rock songs. It's
not no state soda for you.
Maine has a state everything.
Wait, does Maine Ohio have a state does. Soda? Wait, I want to see if Ohio state soda. Hold up.
I think Maine is just special.
No, I guess not. There's like the best one in every state. Oh god. I mean, Ohio might be like, oh god. I mean, this might be like more, this could be anywhere in the Midwest, like West Virginia or Indiana or anywhere. But Cheerwine? Have you ever had Cheerwine?
Have what?
Nope.
Cheerwine. Oh my god, it's like a great, like, cherry soda. We'll have it on the first WikiQuest...
WikiQuest taste test.
WikiQuest taste test. Yes.
It all right. That's really good. A little sort of. Okay.
We'll have that for real. We'll make it happen in actual life. That's pretty much it for WikiQuest, an ongoing experiment conversation research. I'm Ted Hubisch.
I'm Elise Giannatazio.
I'm another third one.
Yes, thank you so much, Josh, for joining us on this episode. It was a lot of fun. We'll have you on again, of course.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, for sure. That's our show, everybody. I'll catch you on the flip-flop.
See ya.
Bye.